Yes, thank
here
you.
She is.
Thanks, James. At three, Alice Giddings joins me. She's a reporter and a runner, and she'll discuss with me her report into what happens to women when they run in public. You can probably imagine, but did you know that 10% of them report being spat at while they're out running? At two, Nigel Farage has been talking about, amongst other things, tax breaks for married couples. 50%, I learned today, of kids are being raised in one-parent households. Is there a connection here? And should the tax system ever reward the kind of relationship you choose to be in? I'm going to start, though, with events in Liverpool last night. Truly awful events. Thankfully, nobody killed. May they all get well. But what do we learn from it? And is it anything we can do something about?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, Keir Starmer says the whole country stands with Liverpool after what he described as scenes of utter horror. Four children were among 27 people taken to hospital after a car ploughed into crowds yesterday evening. Ian Byrne is Labour MP for Liverpool West Derby. He told LBC they're all struggling to process what actually happened.
To actually have that, I said it was just absolute joy, then just to see the absolute horror it turned to. And then obviously, you know, you're in a panic yourself. I had my two sons down there, friends and family were down on the stand. So the lack of information was difficult.
The Education Secretary has admitted scrapping the two-child benefit isn't off the table, but Bridget Phillipson says the costs involved in doing so mean it's not straightforward. Labour MPs are pushing the government to change course on welfare spending. Health Secretary Wes Streeting has urged doctors to vote against taking industrial action. Resident, previously known as junior doctors in England, have been offered an average pay rise of 5.4% this year. They've started to receive ballots to decide on possible strikes. Dr. Chris Morris from the BMA has told LBC that the current offer doesn't go far enough.
Last year, when we agreed the pay deal, we were very clear that the pay deal was the first step towards pay restoration. And unless there was sort of significant progress, ongoing progress towards pay restoration this year, we wouldn't be able to avoid a further ballot and potential industrial action.
More than 7,000 jobs will be created at KFC in the UK and Ireland over the next 5 years. The company is investing £1.5 billion into opening 500 new outlets in the next decade. An England goalkeeper, Mary Earps, has retired from international football with immediate effect. The Euros winner won 53 senior caps for her country and collected numerous individual awards, including the World Cup Golden Glove in 2023. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 67 points at 87.85. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.19. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of heavy rain in England and Wales. Sunny spells and showers for northern Scotland. Cloudy with showers elsewhere. Windy, especially in the south. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
Summer fashion announcement. Stripes are in, darling. Oh, and also florals. Groundbreaking, we know. Pastels and block colors, too. Basically, you choose. From breathable floral duvet sets to modular wardrobes and stripy blockout blinds, IKEA has hundreds of new summer products to let summer in. Fabulous. Visit IKEA online or in store. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. I want to focus in this first hour on events in Liverpool last night, yesterday evening to be more precise, around 6 o'clock. But I don't know about you, but I am still reeling from some of the images that I've heard, seen from there, and some of the accounts that I've heard as well from there. Like most people with family who are football mad in Liverpool, I was on the phone quick sharp just to make sure that they were okay, and thankfully they were. But when you'd seen those videos, you knew that there were, I really think it's a miracle nobody has died in that incident. Thank God they haven't. And for those who are more seriously injured, including a child, We can only wish them a full recovery and survival. But it was truly horrendous. I mean, it brings back, the investigation is going on, so I don't know the details of the what, the where, the when and the how of it all. And neither do you, neither do any of us. So there's a lot of speculation online and I won't be engaging in that. But I think there's lots we can talk about without speculating about the motives of the individual, the state of the individual, what happened to his car before he entered Water Street. All of that will be investigated by the police, and rightly so. But I think there are questions around elements of how the roads were managed. It looks as though, I know the area really well, it looks as though Dale Street, which is the main sort of business district, main street, it looks as though that, again, I might be wrong, but it looks as though that wasn't fully closed off to traffic, which is why this individual was able to get his car as close to Water Street as he did, because Dale Street essentially becomes Water Street. It's just one long stretch towards the river. And the only thing in between them really is Liverpool Town Hall. If you see that building sort of jutting out a bit, that's Liverpool Town Hall. And that faces a street called Castle Street, which was properly blocked off. But Water Street clearly wasn't properly blocked off. And it looks as though Dale Street wasn't blocked off at all at the far end, because otherwise how would this man have accessed that road? So these are all questions that the police investigation has to establish. I think my main question, apart from being very keen to hear from you if you were down there, or you had family down there, one of my brothers and his family were down on the Strand, which is the main dock road adjacent to Water Street, but thankfully they were fine. But this is an event that happens frequently in Liverpool. Because I was just saying yesterday to Liam Gotting, our reporter, who we'll speak to in a moment, that because this is such a frequent occurrence, because Liverpool is such a successful football club, these kinds of events are fairly common. I mean, they were routine in my childhood, not maybe on this scale, but they were certainly routine, and huge numbers would turn out when I was a kid as well, including myself and my family. Not down into town, but up in that sort of street-based route. It's huge, huge turnout of people, and it's largely managed well. But something wasn't right yesterday. And that's not to denigrate the police or the organisation or anything. It's to say, my God, if people are going to gather in those numbers, we need to get the organisation of it right. I was thinking about my recent trip for work to Rome to cover the Pope's funeral. Similar numbers of people turned out for Pope Francis's funeral in Rome. Again, a different kind of event, but I was struck by how incredibly well organised that was. I was struck by how easy it was to access where we needed to get. You know, it was all very straightforward. And again, I suspect that lots of you who were there yesterday will have experienced that too. Good marshalling, good humour, good policing. I'm sure that was all on display yesterday. But something has gone wrong for that car to be able to get where it got. It may be as simple as an idiot thinking he could go wherever the hell he likes and crashing through barricades. We'll find out. But you have to look at that and find out how, in God's name, it was able to come about at all. So thankfully, we wake to the day without anybody having died as a result of that. This is what the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, had to say in the last couple of hours.
Well, scenes of joy turned to utter horror and devastation. And my thoughts and the thoughts of the whole country are with all of those that are affected, those injured, which of course includes children, their families, their friends, the whole community, Liverpool fans everywhere. And Liverpool stands together, and the whole country stands with Liverpool. I'd like to thank the first responders who did a fantastic job last night and continue to do so. There's now an ongoing investigation. I'm being kept updated, talking frequently to the Mayor, Steve Rotherham. But as I say, my thoughts and the thoughts of the whole country will be with everybody in Liverpool today.
I'll be speaking to Steve Rotherham, the Mayor of the Liverpool City Region, at 2:30 today. He couldn't join us this hour, but we'll speak to him a little later in the programme. We'll hear from Ian Byrne in a second, MP for Liverpool West Derby, which is just 3 or 4 miles away from the centre of Liverpool. Liam Gotting joins me first, though, LBC's reporter in Liverpool. Last time we spoke, Liam, yesterday, you were on a cherry picker overlooking the scenes on the Strand and into Water Street.
Yeah, you're right, Sheila. And it, when we spoke at that time, I don't think anyone could have foreseen what was going to come later on that day. I'm stood now back on the Strand at the cordon where it joins Water Street. And though you can now see that the rubble has been swept away from the Strand, and it's almost as if no parade took place at all yesterday, the carnage of last night and what happened on Water Street is still incredibly evident. Broken glass, beer bottles everywhere, abandoned scarves and hats soaked in the rain from last night and the rain that's coming down now as well. Abandoned bikes and e-scooters all scattered across the street. Officers are still lined up from top to bottom. There's a huge blue and white forensics tent as well that's still sitting in the middle of the road as police continue their investigation. Now, we learned last night at a press conference led by Merseyside Police that this is not being treated as terrorism and it is believed to be an isolated incident, but they have arrested a 53-year-old man from the Liverpool area. Earlier this morning, Liverpool Riverside MP Kim Johnson was speaking at the cordon. She's urging people not to speculate about the circumstances.
We need to leave the police to undertake their inquiries. It happened 6 o'clock last night. We know that a white male, 53, from Liverpool, was arrested at the scene. And, you know, for people not to speculate on this and allow the police to undertake their inquiries.
Well, 47 people in total were injured in the incident, including 4 children. 27 people were hospitalised, including those kids, and 2 people suffered serious injuries, including one of those children. We know that 3 fire crews came to help at the scene as well. They removed 3 adults and a child who were trapped underneath the car after the incident. City Council leader Liam Robinson has been at the cordon today as well. He's described what happened as truly shocking.
What had been a joyous day, not just for Liverpool Football Club, but the whole city, with the incident that then happened after the parade. Everybody's deeply shocked and really upset, and our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that was affected, particularly those people that are particularly poorly in hospital.
Thanks very much, Liam, for that report. There were a number of really brilliant people who called from Liverpool who'd been down at the scene yesterday. And they called into Nick, into Henry Riley's show on LBC and into Nick Abbott's show later on. I was listening to both. One woman in particular struck me because she was saying, look, this was a big weekend for Liverpool. We had the Radio 1 Big Weekend, massive event. We had the Cunard events down at the docks. We had, obviously, the victory parade for Liverpool as well, which is probably the one that got most national press attention, but even before this awful event happened. And she was saying, look, it's been clear for the whole week. You only have to switch a radio or a television on or go online to look at it about this event and you will see in massive letters, do not bring a car into the city centre. There will be no access for cars in the city centre. And she was very clear about that. She said it was really obvious from radio, from television, from newspapers that the organisers were clear that the roads would be blocked off. There would be no access for cars in the city centre. So clearly we have to establish why this happened the way that it did. Striking again, how quickly police shared the man's nationality and ethnicity, obviously showing that some lessons had been learned from the Southport attacks to try to minimise some of the crazier parts of the online world. Ian Byrne joins me, MP for Liverpool West Derby. Ian, I'm sure, like me, like the rest of us, you're reeling from these events and wishing the people injured very well indeed. I can see your Liverpool flag behind you. The celebration is secondary to the safety of those people, but what a contrast in that day.
Yeah, you're spot on, Sheila. Obviously, you know, our heart goes out to those injured. You know, we've got children in all the way hospital currently getting treated. So I think they're foremost in everyone's mind, making sure that they all make a speedy recovery. But yeah, you're right. I was outside my constituency office on West Derby Road. I'm sure you know well. And yeah, there was thousands of people, families, young kids dressed up, little girls dancing.
Yeah,
it was just absolutely joyous. And when the coach went past, and the trophy and the roar that went up, and the whole thing was just, it was a real moment of pure joy and seeing everybody come together, because there was people from all across the globe over the weekend in Liverpool. And it was certainly all across the globe as well in the streets of West Derby. It was remarkable. And then I decided not to go into town because obviously the scale of, you could see how big it was going to be. So we just walked and and what remained of the parade on the TV. And to go from such joy and seeing those iconic scenes when you see the coach go down past the Liver buildings and everything about it was just utterly magnificent. And then within the blink of an eye, you know, we see this horrible incident and a tragedy occur. And yeah, it shook the city and everybody in it to the core, yeah.
And I wonder what questions you have, Ian. I know that I've said a little bit about what questions I have they would relate to. And again, this isn't to denigrate the police. This is just to say, what do we do when huge crowds descend on a city, whether it's Liverpool or any other city or any other scenario? What do we do to make it as safe as it can be? I think it's fair to say no crowd can ever be completely safe, because one incident can spark a crowd to become a very different thing. And I think we saw maybe elements of that briefly before the police got full control of things yesterday. But it seems to me there are questions long before that incident. I've heard people calling LBC, and my own family have said it to me as well, who were up at the other end, the sort of South Liverpool end, at the beginning of the parade, saying that actually at the back of the bus, once the bus had gone through your zone, things just became a bit messy on the streets. There didn't seem to be proper policing on the physical streets down in South Liverpool of where people were meant to be. And it caused danger. Cars not doing what this guy did, but cars and people being in places they shouldn't be in together. So there's questions to ask, isn't there, about how we manage those big numbers. We heard it from the train stations yesterday as well, in Crewe, in Manchester, in Liverpool. It's got to be well managed, hasn't it, the whole thing?
Yeah, it has. And, you know, we've, first and foremost, I'd like to pay tribute to, obviously, the services, the emergency services that were on the scene and the people there. It was just utterly magnificent.
And the fact that they were on site because of the event probably saved a couple of lives there, I would have thought, because they were there.
Yeah, I think so, yeah, listening to some of the reports. No, they were so, because no one knew what was happening. So the bravery of them going in there to do what they did, and then obviously the people around there as well. You know, everybody deserves a huge amount of credit for that. But as you alluded to before, Sheila, that, you know, we've got experience with these things. You know, when we won the European Cup, it was similar scenes in 2020. And I think what happened now is that when me and you were growing up, it was a real Liverpool-focused celebration. The scale, what we're seeing now, I think there was over a million people in the city.
There were those other events. So people would have been in Liverpool for those events and thought, oh, we'll go along to the parade as well, you know. So
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, went to a couple of events over the weekend, and it was people from all across the globe. And, you know, only 60,000 people are lucky enough to actually get in and see the team lift a trophy like I was lucky enough to on Sunday. Yeah. So this just is a celebration of, like, the global, national, local families. I mean, you know, so many kids I've seen yesterday celebrating West Derby won't get near Anfield.
Yeah.
But you know what? Yesterday they had the opportunity to see the team go past with the trophy, see Virgil van Dijk, see Mo Salah, see Arne Slot. I mean,
and really up close, you get to really see
close.
Them,
It was a joyous, and that's what these things are. And I think we've also got to be mindful of the fact, who for one moment thinks that this would be possible, you know, in such a joyous weekend where everyone was building up. You know, it's the last thing on your mind that you see the scenes, what we've seen at 6 o'clock. So, you know, I think people done as much as they could, I would have thought, but I agree with you. There's always,
something to learn, isn't there?
There'd be an investigation into this, you know, from the council perspective, the police perspective. I think everybody would be looking at, you know, is there anything we can do moving forward differently, which will have to be looked at in the round. But I think at the moment, you know, I think the more information the police can get, if people have got social media posts or people with their eyewitness accounts, and I think we get to the actual truth of this, and then obviously lessons will be learned, because if the year's future parades, well then, you know, you don't want this to be replicated.
And the other thing that I saw on social media last night, a number of different things concerned me really. One was that there was footage of a number of police officers, and clearly fire officers as well, because of the different uniforms they were, around the base of the car. The crowd had moved, you know, not the crowd, the people who had been going towards the car before the police got there had been pushed away. And they were clearly trying to lift the car off those poor people who were underneath the car. And you can still see people posting that video saying things like, why is no one lifting the car? Why is no one lifting the car? Are they deliberately trying to, they're probably deliberately trying to kill Scousers? And you just think, oh God, it's surrounded by fire officers who know what they are doing. let them do it. Don't think you know better from your living room. And there's that kind of nonsense going on. And I've seen people say, is it an MI5 this? Look at the way the car registration changes. And it's all nonsense. And this is what reporters, MPs and police are up against, isn't it, when it comes to actually getting a proper safe court case started, and B, just public order, which thankfully was kept.
Yeah, I think it's a battle of it. I mean, it's you know, you shake your head at times. It's unbelievable what goes through people's minds in such in the moments of tragedy. You know, like you said at the start of the program, my two sons went down to the stand. So the first thing in your mind was obviously what happened. You know, with these safe?
Is everyone safe? Yeah,
friends and family down there. And then obviously you start getting the misinformation coming about on social media, which I'm sure Steve will touch on at 2:30.
Yeah.
Speaking to you, it does nobody any favours. And there's people who should know far better that were posting rubbish after the event, which I just find shameful, to be honest. I truly find shameful. You know, we should be thinking about how the injured, making sure they're okay, making sure everybody gets away. As you said, thankfully we had no fatalities. And that should be first and foremost.
And even if you are also assessing it to see, as a journalist, I certainly do, you know, you're assessing what went wrong there. What's that guy doing? Did that prompt this? What's this? I'm not going to go all over the social media for that. I'm going to think about it in my head before I speak, you know. But there is...
Well, exactly. And, you know, you think about it, you know, there's a million people in there. Then this happens, then the city gets shut down. So the last thing, people are panicking, rightly so. You know, there's lots of people from outside the city that want to get back home.
Absolutely.
And it creates then other dangers where people start panicking. And, you know, that it's a really shameful thing to do, you know, in the aftermath of something what we've seen, to cause potentially further confusion and distress to people who are already in that situation. Because that when there's a void immediately afterwards, you know, to fill it with rubbish is shameful. And I thought the police handled it extremely well, Merseyside Police, and what they did to inform as best as they could.
Thank you very much, Ian. And let's hope that we just get increasingly good news about the people who have been injured and hurt. Ian Byrne, MP for Liverpool West Derby. You heard from Liam Gotting as well. And that clip there from Keir Starmer. Your calls in just a moment on 0345 6060 973. What can we learn? And is it something we can do anything about? 121.
This is LBC.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak, walking on an unspoilt goes on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast, plunging into the splendor of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. Ah, yes, this is the life. All you have to do is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum if she has a new heart?
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email, or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My claim group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Sheila Fogarty on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I do think one of the questions that has to be raised in the fullness of time about events in Liverpool yesterday evening is about the blocking off of roads and how well blocked off they were to prevent lunatic behaviour, at least. Let's let the police find out what the detail is. But I think we can all see with our eyes that was dreadful behaviour. But you think back, well, I certainly thought back, I think completely understandably, some of the people who first encountered that car and subsequently when he was ramming into people, would have seen that through potentially anyway, seen it through a prism of terrorism, understandably. I would have, if I saw that on Leicester Square or whatever, or down by Westminster, I'd be, because of what we've seen already in Nice, in Westminster, in London Bridge, countless places, that's probably the prism I would have instantly seen it through. And I think that's a completely understandable reaction, but it is why, broadly speaking, we leave these things to the police. But then again, if we are the person on the scene and trying to stop a car doing X, Y, or Z, most of us, certainly strong men, would probably intervene one way or another to try to stop it. Not an easy thing to do, you know, humans against a car, you're not going to win. And I think there was an element of that. There were people in some of the videos I saw, there were people who were around the car before it reared off into the people, warning others not to go near the car in case there's something in it. I heard one man say, "We don't know what's in the car," meaning, I interpreted that to mean there could be a bomb in the car. And that's not an unreasonable thing to think, and at high speed in those circumstances. So there's so much going through everybody's minds, I'm sure, at the time. And you know, you look back on the Westminster attack here, the London Bridge attack, you look at the bollards, the heavy metal bollards around the American Embassy, around Parliament, the automatic bollards around places like Leicester Square. This is all stuff that's been put in after the fact. So now we know. Now we know where the weaknesses are. And I suspect that in the wash up after all of this, the authorities in Liverpool, all of them, are going to have to look at, you know, where the barriers need to go and how firm those barriers need to be, because not all of them were solid as a rock barriers. Some of them were, but not all of them were, clearly, to just stop a car from getting where it wanted to get to. And that point where Dale Street becomes Water Street, just past the town hall, it was clearly a weak point, because the car should never have been able to get there. The its only obstacle was that ambulance, really. And thank God that ambulance was there. I'm sure people are alive today because the emergency services, all of them, were already around and about. Robert has called from Brixton on this. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Sheila. I think my heart goes out to all the people that were injured, their families, and also the people that witnessed the event.
Absolutely.
But I think, I said to your researcher about blocking off the main arteries of the roads. Mm. We've had so many instances in Germany, in France, in Spain, and it would just take very little resources to put barriers up and block the roads off. You can have the water-filled ones that the film industry uses. You could put the gold command centre of the police.
Yeah, they don't have to be permanent. I mean, again, no. Apologies for people who don't know London, but just 5 minutes walk from where I'm sitting in Leicester Square, as you head towards Trafalgar Square, whenever there is a big event in Trafalgar Square, or yeah, a big royal event, or the opening of Parliament, or something where there needs to be serious security, the pavements and the roads are blocked off with these big, heavy, water-filled things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you need.
Yeah, I went to a local event over the weekend, and it was some festival, blocked off the whole of the town, but they'd outsourced the security to local security firm. There was no police presence. And again, they just had the plastic barriers with someone leaning on them, letting people in and out. No check of who they were. Oh, they're supporting the festival. And again,
I have to say, though, I think there are always limits to what you can check. I really do.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just turn an event into a security matter as opposed to an event, you know.
The only people that were going through these bollards are the people that were supporting the bands. So a very, very small cadre. Mm. Everything was blocked off, but it was just plastic barriers and one chap on, whereas that quite easily could have been another tragedy. So,
yeah. But the thing is, the reason I mentioned, you know, the kind of impenetrable blockades we see now in around the edges of Leicester Square, around Westminster, around you know, various bridges in London. You look at London Bridge now, and there's a whole series of barriers, isn't there, to stop cars from ramming people into the river, which happened on Westminster Bridge tragically. But they, you know, we learn after the fact, don't we?
We do, and we've, you know, other instances in Europe, the police and emergency services did fantastically, but there's not many main roads going into that event, and they would have been blocked off somehow by someone there saying you can't go there. And it just needs a simple deterrent of a temporary barrier that's effective.
The thing is, the beginning, and again, you'd have to know Liverpool to know this, the beginning of Dale Street, so a good, I don't know, a good 500 metres from where we first see that car, that is very much on the fringes of the city centre. You're heading out at that point in Dale Street. You're not heading out, you're coming in from the outer reaches of the city. You're not in the city centre as such, but as soon as you get into Dale Street proper and on Dale Street proper, all you're doing is either going to the river or into the town centre, and that needed to be fully blocked.
That's
off,
the point.
Didn't it?
It is, but heart goes out to everyone, and totally. Even the survivors will have a lot of
trauma.
A lot of trauma.
God, I have to say, I've got it myself. I mean, obviously at a lighter level, but I think if you look at these images, I mean, and I've been sort of, you know, not repeatedly looking at them, just looking at them once or twice and leaving that. It is truly horrendous.
It is.
To see those people being, and there's a reason we call it mowing people down, because it literally is like a lawnmower when it hits people. It's just awful. Thank you, Robert, for your call and your observations. That's Robert in Brixton. More of your calls in a few moments. We'll speak to Dan in Liverpool. And I'll be joined as well by Chris Phillips, former head of the National Counterterrorism Security Office and a former detective chief inspector of the Metropolitan Police. We've spoken to Chris many times. A reminder that the mayor of the Liverpool City Region, Steve Rotherham, joins me in an hour's time here on LBC. Let's get the headlines at 1:30 from Amelia Cox.
Liverpool captain Virgil van Dijk says he's praying for a speedy recovery for all those injured following the club's title parade. Four children were among 27 people taken to hospital when a car drove into crowds in the city yesterday evening. A 28-year-old has been charged with the attempted murder of a police officer following a car crash in Buckinghamshire. Simranjit Kalja from Slough appeared in court charged with attempted murder earlier. And the King will oversee the state opening of Canada's Parliament today. He'll set out the government's legislative agenda as Canada faces threats to trade and sovereignty from the US. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of heavy rain in England and Wales, sunny spells and showers for northern Scotland, cloudy with showers elsewhere, windy especially in the south, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Any tips for the game?
If it's games you want, your best bet is to check out Bet Victor's Casino Games. They've got more games than you've had hot dinners. In fact, they've got more games than Las Vegas Gaming Convention's annual convention of games.
Lots of games, got it.
Yep, there's over 4,000 slot games, including all your favourites like Big Bass Bonanza, live casino tables like roulette and blackjack, and casino games like Crazy Time.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on Bet Victor Casino. 18+ gamblerware.org.
For simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
Did you know you can get Santander cycles for 24 hours for £3.50? I spent the day feeling the morning breeze, rolling with mates. Keep up! Free wheeling!
For £3.50, you can get 24 hours of unlimited 60-minute rides on Santander Cycles. Download the Santander Cycles app to find your nearest docking station. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Pedal bikes only. Additional charges apply for e-bikes. Other T's and C's apply.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
This is LBC with Sheila Fogarty. Call 0345 6060 973. Alexa, send a comment to LBC. Text 84850.
We'll hear from Chris Phillips in a few minutes. Dan's call from Liverpool. Hello, Dan.
Oh, Sheila, you okay?
Yes, are you okay, more to the point?
We're fine. We were there yesterday, and we were only 200 yards away. We were actually on Castle Street when it happened.
Right.
And the people were streaming through, you know, the area yourself where the Pig and Whistle pub is.
I do, yeah, yeah.
People were screaming through there, and the initial report was it was a fight. And literally seconds later, this high-vis wave flew past us.
Of police running towards it, yeah.
They were fantastic.
Yeah.
Because the whole day was a low-level presence, but you knew they were there. Everyone was in jovial moods. There was no animosity. We were all sharing umbrellas, singing. Yeah. We all waited 4 hours.
A festival feel.
It was superb. Yeah. There was just flares and everyone was singing. Everyone was having a drink. And as everyone started fanning out, the police moved the barriers, the handguards.
Yeah.
Because obviously people are funneling back out. Now, you're saying there about they should have shut this, they should have shut that. You know yourself, it's a one-way system. And the car parks are fed off that one-way system off Dale Street. So if you'd have
shut
Dale
Street... Which car parks are you talking about?
The car park behind the Irish Bar off Dale Street, off Tide Barn Street.
Oh, I know.
And
you've
got the one next to the passport office, the one opposite next to the Malmaison.
But they were empty.
No, the one by the Malmaison, people were actually on the floors looking out and waving the flags.
Yeah,
but our side had been allowed to park. Now, we could have parked in the centre of the town because my partner works in town. We could have parked in their offices.
Yeah.
But we were warned by the police 24 hours earlier. It's shut down from 4 in the morning till 12 at night. So if your car's in there, it's not coming out.
So Dale Street was an access point for people to park in those car parks. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because that's the only way into the city because of the one-way route.
Yeah.
Because, it's blocked on, what's the road opposite the town hall? It's all
Castle Street.
Now.
That's Castle Street.
Castle Street, yeah. Well, we were by the 20, the number 20 outside of the building, which has now been painted to represent the championship. Everyone's getting a picture took.
Yeah.
The police ran past us, and within seconds, they diverted the masses that were going towards Water Street.
Away.
And no one said that. And that's when people are going to Moorfields, which was the only station.
Yeah.
Central was shut. Now, people knew what had happened. There was no grieving, there was no fighting. Everyone went, listen, boys, it's a two-hour wait. So everyone started streaming out of the city, walking down the Dock Road, down Great Howard Street.
And walking back into the shopping area, were they? Were they walking back into the shopping area as well, just to get away?
No, they weren't, because the police had put the barriers back up at this point. They'd actually funneled it and shut the area down.
Mm.
But they were so effective. Whatever was put in place in the city worked, because all the security guards on every one of them buildings stepped them up. They all shut the doors and said, right, and they were letting kids come in who were obviously distraught.
Yeah. And I know that the restaurant Mowgli, which is on the corner of Castle Street and Water Street, was basically a first aid centre.
Yeah, well, we didn't see that bit because, like I say, we were the next road down.
Mm.
But the amount of people that was there, there's no way in the world you can blame the police. They've done absolutely everything possible.
I mean, my questions aren't about blaming the police. My questions are, if we've got anything to learn from this, what is it? And whatever it is, can we do something about it? Because that's just sensible. That's just sensible.
Where them cars were. They've obviously been there. They haven't just pulled up in the afternoon and gone, yeah, we'll park there. They've been there for a long period of time. Maybe they've been left from the night before.
You mean in the car park?
Yeah.
But the thing is...
They didn't stop you parking.
No, the thing is, Dan, we can't assume that the car in question had been in a car park. We just don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make... an argument for or against. I mean, what's happened is absolutely terrible. It's deplorable. But what I'm saying is, there's nothing the police could have done better than what they'd already done. Everyone You let a lot of stuff go because he'd said no flares, everyone had the flares. And that's all the police done. I seen them once was moved the barrier from St. Nick's Church further back up the road to allow more people in. And it was done safely. It was in a calm
manner. And for people who don't know, St. Nick's Church is on a road that's parallel to Water Street.
That's it, yeah. And that was, everyone was there. And the police, like I said, they had a small cordon at the side. But all you do is you walk up and they'd move the barrier, certainly, and you come. And then they'd say, listen, you're probably best going over there. It's a bit shocker there.
Yeah,
and it was friendly.
No, and I don't doubt it, Dan. And it's evident that that's the case. You know, it's great to hear your personal description of it. Absolutely brilliant. But and again, I think once the awful mowing down of people had started, and a group of about what 20 men mainly, I think it was, went towards the car, that flash of yellow that you saw, the coppers running down towards the car. They quickly got control. I mean, it was a bit of a fight, but they quickly got control around that car.
Sorry for them. But because what no one's seeing, you probably see it on the more CCTV that comes out, is, you know, as you come down the back end of Tide Barn Street, it comes down, within seconds, there was fire ambulances flying down there, and the police, this is what I say, had put their protocol into place. And within, they've already made the route in.
And created the space for the absolutely vital space for the emergency services. Brilliant. Thank you, Dan. Dan in Liverpool. Chris Phillips is here now, former head of the National Counter-Terrorism Security Office. Your reflections, Chris, on all of this?
Well, it's what we've always known is that vehicles and large crowds just don't mix. And as has been said already on this programme, you know, we need to find out how that vehicle got there, whether it went into the crowd from the external, or it was already inside the tied off area, which that's what we'll find out in due course. And of course, you know, what we do know that vehicles in crowds cause huge casualties, and whatever the rationale, whatever the motive was of this chap, it seems it wasn't terrorism. Maybe it was fear, maybe it was a medical incident, we don't know, and that's really what we're going to find out in due course.
Yeah, and you know, I remember my first driving lesson. The guy said, when you're in control of a car, you're in control of a weapon. Always remember.
It's a very dangerous weapon. And we had a police officer knocked over, I think it was last night, and is in critical condition in Buckinghamshire. And, you know, we need to bear this in mind. You know, we've got police officers that are currently awaiting a hearing because they were in fear of being knocked over. These are dangerous things, and the more you can keep vehicles away from crowds, the better. We've got a great system in the UK, and I know Merseyside do this very well, to try to keep vehicles out, but it's not always possible. And we have to understand that you need to get fire engines in, you need to be able to get ambulances into these situations. So you have to have an entry point. For them. And of course, other people can tailgate or whatever, or barge their way through.
These
are all difficulties.
I mean, one of the things that came to my mind yesterday when I was reflecting on all of this was when I was a very young reporter at Radio Merseyside in 1992. There was a celebration of the tall ships in the Albert Dock area, in the waterfront. And there was a huge royal turnout. King and Queen of Spain, our own royals were there, because it was 500 years since Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue and all that. And my job, which I kind of resented on the day, but my job was to sit on the top floor of the police headquarters and do all of the traffic news for the whole day. But actually, as the day went on, I started to find it more interesting, probably out of necessity, but I started to find it more interesting because you see that overall picture of what police have to control, and still people will park where they fancy parking even though they're not allowed to, and all that, you know. And it was you get a picture of just how complex those days are for police.
Yeah, and you know, there's nothing new in this. What has happened over the years is that the police have learnt how to move vehicles away, how to actually physically prevent vehicles from breaking through outer cordons. But you also, as you very well know, this was a huge area that was undertaken to try to keep vehicles out of, and huge numbers of people. And we do have to also understand that it is impossible to have 100% security. Yeah. And what we are lucky here is that this vehicle didn't explode and it wasn't a terrorist attack. So, you know, grateful for small mercies, not obviously the poor people that have been injured.
Yeah, and you mentioned that. And that's why I say some of the people going towards that vehicle at the beginning, not after the mowing down, but at the beginning, but even then after the mowing down, they didn't know what was in that vehicle or who was in that vehicle and what could have come from that vehicle. And there's recent history in Liverpool outside the maternity hospital of a car literally blowing up because there was a suicide bomber in it who intended to go inside the maternity hospital. The thing we all have in our heads now, rightly or wrongly, when we see these awful events, is terrorism, isn't it? It is what people go to, which is why the flow of information is so important in those immediate hours and days afterwards.
It is, and I think Merseyside Police did exactly the right thing by releasing the details. I know it's a bit controversial, but learning from Southport and where we have social media now, which can just go bonkers in a matter of minutes.
Yes.
And it has. And, you know, all sorts of stories coming out, even people that want to be mayor of London, you know, coming out with ridiculous comments that is only going to stir up problems that we don't need. Now, we don't know the story of this guy and why he was in that car in that road, but we'll find out in due course. And thank goodness it appears that no one's, you know, been killed by this incident. But we have to allow the police to do their job. They got the message out quite quickly. As you said, the bravery of the officers and others that went to the door not knowing what the situation was. Yeah. You know, we should appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that it's interesting that our previous caller there, Dan in Liverpool, when he talked about a flash of neon yellow, meaning the, you know, the jackets of the coppers, just the speed with which, I mean, it looked to be about 20, 30 officers running at speed towards that car when they realised that what it was doing, that it had come to a halt, and that they had a multiply complex situation on their hands there, didn't they? Casualties, angry people who'd just witnessed something awful, people wondering what the hell else was going to happen in that car. There was, I mean, God, talk about complex things to manage as a copper.
Yeah, and you know, I also heard on one of the videos, you know, kill him. So, you know, the crowd weren't happy, and the police had to deal with that as well.
Yeah.
Allay the crowd, if you like, from doing damage to the
get
person.
Get them off it, yeah.
And to keep them safe as much as anything. Getting control of the situation is the key in policing, and they did that very well yesterday. We will find out in due course how that vehicle got there, and that's, I think, the key point, and what the motives was of that man that was driving it. And that those are the important things, as well as making sure that the injured are looked after properly.
And I mentioned earlier, I don't know whether you were listening at the time, that, you know, we've seen here in London, you know, the Westminster attacks, the London Bridge attacks, the heavy security around Parliament now, heavy security around the American Embassy, around Leicester Square, you've got those automatic barriers now. We've done all of this, in a sense, after the fact, haven't we? There are always things to learn from these dreadful, dreadful events.
Always things to learn, and understand that no matter what security you put in place, there are always ways around. And often it's, you know, mistakes by individuals, or, you know, these things will always happen in our world. What we've got to try and do is protect events. And I think there's a lesson here. The number of festivals and things that are going on over the next 3 or 4 months that just need to think through, you know, how do we protect our people, those people on their way to the festival as well. And
because the train stations
events
yesterday afternoon were putting out messages saying you won't get on the platform, so don't come too early. I mean, there was clearly overcrowding at the train stations. And I include Crewe and Manchester Piccadilly in that, not just Liverpool Lime Street.
Yeah, and you know, the crowded places, that was the thing that my job was to try to help protect. And it's almost an impossible task, but you do your best. Yeah, you put the measures in place, you hope they work. What I would say as well, you know, that we in the UK, we have fantastic companies building hostile vehicle mitigation measures, which are deployable very quickly and safely. You know, anyone organising festivals need to look at that and say, okay, do we need to stop vehicles vehicles from being able to get into this crowd. And yes, you do. And maybe you should look at some of the companies that are out there to help you do that.
Hate crowds personally. Avoid them at all costs. Thanks very much indeed, Chris. Chris Phillips, former head of the National Counterterrorism Security Office. We'll hear from Carl Cashman in a moment, leader of the Liberal Democrat group on Liverpool City Council, who was at that victory parade last night. And we'll hear from the Liverpool City Region Mayor, Steve Rotherham, in about 40 minutes' time. Your calls as well, if you were there yesterday, what you saw, what your reflections are today, 0345 6060 973. It's 1:48.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
A confusion, a puzzle, a bewilderment of U-turns, but are there some more? Is there another one on the way?
Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson joining us. It is reported that pressure is mounting on the Prime Minister to scrap the two-child benefit limit. And the commentators who are saying that this is driven by Nigel Farage and some of his policies to try and attract Red Wall or Labour voters, how would you respond?
But Nigel Farage has never been on the side of working people. He opposes the measures that we are introducing that will help working people. For example, our employment rights bill that will give more people rights at work.
He doesn't agree with the two-child benefit cap, Secretary of State.
Well, he flip-flops on all of this. He's backed it in the past. And well,
doesn't your government flip-flop a bit?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Hey, it's Roman here. Now at Vodafone, you can get the epic Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra and save up to £1,008 when you trade in an eligible phone. Plus, you can experience the exclusive Circle to Search feature, available only on Android, helping you to search fast and find what you need without switching apps. Go online or in-store today. Ends 12th of June. Vodafone.
Save £576 on 5GB airtime over 36 months and £72 on the phone. 100MB max speed, eligibility, credit and trade-in checks and terms apply. Finance Vodafone.
A Southern Train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out. Sit back, and when you hear All Change Please, you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets from only £7 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Check your retirement savings are on track with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on! Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on.
Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Chatelier Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home shutterly fabulous. So don't diver, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver and Daddy helped me make it.
At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now I'm making a paper hot air balloon. And I even made a little brown basket. And I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mom, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Sheila Fogarty. Text 84850.
Tracy says, the first thing I said was, why were cars allowed in the city yesterday? Well, they weren't, Tracy, which is why it begs a massive question where this one came from, which the police are obviously investigating. But she goes on to say, as you see the parade come down Leeds Street, you can clearly see cars on the opposite carriageway. I'm stunned that the whole city wasn't shut down and all roads closed. My kids were there, and despite initially not being able to get hold of them, they were safe, thankfully. But a wonderful day overshadowed by these awful events. I'm so glad you're highlighting this, says Tracy. Let's talk to Carl Cashman, who's kindly joined us, the leader of the Liberal Democrat group on Liverpool City Council, who spent some time at the parade yesterday. Carl, good afternoon to you. Really, really hideous events and a difficult time for Liverpool. Thank God nobody has died in this awful, well, not accident, in this awful incident. Your recollections really of the day, up to and including, I guess, those events?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for kind of having me on to talk about what happened last night. And mainly, I've got to say thank you for having me on so I can actually talk up the city, because the events of last night, you know, are horrendous after what was supposed to be a joyous day. But I'm really kind of heartened by the response of the city. And, you know, I'm not surprised by it at all, because I know that Liverpool is a place where people look after not only each other, but people from outside the city as well. So, you know, the comments coming through on social media about people offering places to stay, people, you know, offering to pick people up, people offering to get people to the airport if they need to. That's the Liverpool that I know and love, and that everyone in this city knows and loves. And that's what this city is about. I went to the beginning of this parade, and for me, it was just outstanding. You know, everyone was happy. Everyone was filled with joy, as they should be, because we didn't get to experience this during COVID. So, you know, watching the team bring the Premier League trophy through the city for the first time. So, you know, what I seen there was, you know, very well organised, very respectful, good from the police, who I've got to take my hat off to. You know, I've heard other stories from around different parts of the city that have been a little bit different. And I think, you know, people in the city, this city is a city of people that don't take half-truths, you know, they're not fools. So I think what the public authorities have got to do, why I hold them in high esteem and praise for what they've done so far, they've got to be honest with people. They've got to make sure that, like, kind of any poor planning is you know, we got to the bottom of it,
or anything,
and
that was
overlooked. Tell people the truth.
Overlooked. When you say you were at the beginning of the parade, do you mean you were down in South Liverpool when it first began, rather than by the waterfront?
Right. Yeah,
because I heard calls, and indeed some of my own family members who were down at that part as well, saying that once the bus had gone past you, and that flank of officers that was around the bus in front of it and behind it, that once the bus had gone away, things just dissipated, but not always in a safe way, that there were too many cars mingling with people just still thinking they could walk fully on the road rather than on the pavements, and there wasn't sufficient marshalling, either by marshals or police, in that area. I mean, I know that's not where this awful event happened, but again, you want the whole thing to be as safe as it can be, don't you?
Oh no, of course. And I think one of the things that I want to, so there's two things that I want to separate out here. One is that I think that the public bodies need to have a proper investigation and be honest with people, as I've said. But the second is to call out what needs to be called out, but to also not speculate. So I can only say what I seen from my perspective, and that was, you know, well-organised events. When it did dissipate, I think you're right. I think, you know, there wasn't kind of any crowd control. And people, you know, sensible enough in this city. So the part of the parade that I was at, which is the Queen's Drive part of Wavertree, they, you know, dissipated pretty nicely.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've heard stories from around the city, West Derby Roads, you know, the waterfront, as you say, that might be a different story.
And for people who don't know that area, that's West Derby Road. It's where I grew up. That big dual carriageway is a long road, isn't it? Yeah. Queen's Drive that leads on to West Derby Road. It's a dual carriageway. Shops on either side, houses on either side, kids hanging from hanging from bus stops, and, you know, jumping out just so they can see better and all of that. But you only need one thing to go wrong, don't you, for something really bad to happen. And thankfully it didn't, until the Water Street incident. But again, it's just about making sure that things are as good as they can be. No crowd is completely predictable, but things are as good as they can be.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're from the city, Sheila. So you'll know exactly what I'm saying when I say that people, you know, people in this city kind of look after each other. So anything that was potentially going to happen, or of course what did happen, people have responded in exactly the right way. But I think kind of this was a major event, wasn't it? And, you know, I seen some of the predictions initially that said that they think there's going to be 300,000 people visit the city. Now, I think, and I don't know if you've seen any of the crowds, I think it was closer to 1 million people lined the streets of Liverpool yesterday. And that was, you know, a mix of people from within the city, outside of the city. And I think kind of, I always think when you're planning a major event, you've got to plan for worst case scenario. I hope that it was the case that they did. My inclination is that that isn't the case. But let's see kind of what comes out of those public investigations.
Thank you very much, Carl. Good to talk to you. Carl Cashman, leader of the Lib Dems on Liverpool City Council. Let's find time for Dion, who's called from Merseyside. Hello, Dion.
Hello, Sheila. We were drinking in Shanigans on Castle Street. I can tell you right now, the council should have put more bollards up because it's absolutely crazy, Sheila. There were a lot of drunks around, Sheila, and they were kicking the car. They have a lot to blame, Sheila. The police have a lot to do now because there's innocent people. We don't know until that investigation is sorted out. Right, Sheila? I can tell you right now that I believe they let that car down. They kicked that car. They were drunk and they're responsible, Sheila. Somebody that comes from...
Right, well, we won't let you be a kind of random police investigator on air, Dion, because the police are doing a professional job of establishing the facts and looking at everyone's behaviour in and around that car. That's not your job, it's not my job. To conclude, we can all say aspects of what we saw, but we can't get into the heads of the people in that extreme moment that they found themselves in. So we'll leave that there. I have a suspicion that Dion is that gentleman who calls on and off and pretends to be lots of different people. So I'll keep that brief, Dion. Thanks. Nice try, mate. Nice try. Coming up after the news at 2, I want to reflect, and I will reflect, on elements, or a particular element, of Nigel Farage's speech this morning, the Reform leader Nigel Farage's speech, in which he talks about tax breaks for married couples. Now, I remember when the coalition government was in place, I remember Nick Clegg very definitively saying, in no circumstances should the government or the tax system be favouring one type of relationship over another. Is he right? Was Nick Clegg wrong when he said that? Was he right when he said that? Is Nigel Farage right to look at this, to encourage people to marry and to have children? Given the population numbers that we have and the demographic time bomb, as they call it, that we're facing. We also learned today that 50% of kids are being raised in one-parent households. Is Nigel Farage right to look at this?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at